Welcome to Conversacio, the Belmont Abbey podcast. This podcast aims to form and transform our community so that each one of us reflect God's image. I'm Dr. Julia Beeman, Associate Professor and Chair of the Criminal Justice Department here at the Abbey. I'm also the faculty athletic representative, so I work very closely with our coaches, athletic staff, and especially our student athletes. I'm your host for today's episode, and I'm joined by Coach Tony Fox, our head coach for women's volleyball, Ella Schellenberg, a junior here at the Abbey, who is on the women's volleyball team, and Anna Richard, a sophomore on our women's soccer team. We're excited to talk about the importance of National Girls and Women in Sports Day, but I'll let everyone introduce themselves before we get started. Coach Fox.
I am Coach Tony Fox. I coach volleyball here at Belmont Abbey College, and this is my ninth year. I also am the Student Athlete Advisory Committee advisor as well, and I just absolutely love Belmont Abbey College and really excited to be here and talk to you all about and conversate with you about what it means to be a woman in sport.
Great, thank you. Ella.
I'm Ella Schellenberg. I'm a junior on the women's volleyball team. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. I come from a very big Catholic family. It's been such a blessing in my life. And I'm also super excited to be here today and talk about why women's sport is just such an important thing. And it's awesome that we're taking the time here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Good deal. And Anna?
I'm Anna Richard. I'm a sophomore here at Belmont Abbey, and I play on the women's soccer team. Like everyone said, I'm super excited to be here and just talk about the gift of being able to play sports and the joy that we find in that. And yeah, I'm from Pinehurst, North Carolina, and happy to be here.
Great. Awesome. So, Coach Fox, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
And what is National Girls and Women in Sports Day, and why does it matter?
Well, it was originally formed in 1987 by President Ronald Reagan as an opportunity to display and highlight all of women's sports and all the achievements that past women had achieved in sports. It also was a date to honor Flo Hyman, who was a women's volleyball player that passed away tragically from a genetic disorder in a volleyball tournament. And since then, you know, not only did it start as commemorating past women in sport, it really evolved into where we have come, how far we have come, and then also now the path we are now paving for those that are going to follow in our footsteps. And so it's just a day of celebration, and it's a day to bring your community together and also be an advocate for sports and to lead the next generation forward.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. So, how has the landscape of women's sports evolved over the years, especially considering milestones like Title IX? And I know you were sharing with us some of the history of the late Pat Summitt, and so some of our listeners may not be as familiar with her history.
Yeah. Title IX has just transformed women's athletics tremendously. You think about 2012 was the first time women had competed in every single sport that men did in the Olympics. So that's not that long ago. In my lifetime, you know, Pat Summitt, you know, when she first originally arrived at Tennessee, she had a five-person station wagon that she, I'm pretty sure it was eight players that she traveled around with. They had athletic tape on their jerseys, and you know, they were in the auxiliary gym with doves flying around and holes in the ceiling. And you think about Pat Summitt, and you think about that, some people might not know that that's how she started. And now you think about Kelly Jolly, now Harper, and now she, the legacy that Pat left, Kelly, her old point guard, is now the head coach there, and what it means to be a Lady Vol. And someone like Gino at UConn, and you think about someone like John Cook at Nebraska, who has over 92,000 people watching the sport of women's volleyball. You think of someone like Patty Gasso, who's at Oklahoma, who had 1.6 million viewers for women's softball last year, the national tournament, the same as men's baseball as well, the College World Series. Women's sports have evolved so much just in my lifetime, and the platform that women have now, someone like the Division I head coach for field hockey at UNC. Oh, her name is escaping. Erin Mattson escaping mm-hmm. me right now. Winning 4 national championships, and now the platform that she has, and Caitlin Clark, the platform that we now have through social media, how it's grown, and how women's sports have evolved through someone like Pat Summitt, someone like John Cook and John Dunning at Stanford, all men and women have done to advocate for and push our women in sport forward has been tremendous. And we're seeing now all women are capable of in sport. You look at someone like Jalen Hurts at the NFL level, he has a team of 5 women as his management team. You look at someone like Mrs. Ford, who owns the Detroit Lions. Those were things we were not saying 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tremendous, the growth. We still have so far to go, but National Girls Women in Sports Day is a day to commemorate all those things and just stop, take pause, and just see all how far we've come. It's really tremendous. It's really cool.
Absolutely. And I like that you made the point about men and women working together,
yeah.
right? That sometimes when we talk about Title IX or the, quote, feminist movement, right, it became about competition and trying to push the other out. When in fact in sport we see the opposite. We
yeah.
see working together and yeah. both sides helping each other achieve their best.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's about breaking down barriers. It's
right.
not armoring up and grabbing the sword. It's about
exactly.
breaking down those barriers, and sport has a phenomenal way of bringing communities together, and there's no greater feeling than being part of something bigger than yourself. And that's what the Catholic faith teaches us. That's what's so great about being a part of Belmont Abbey College as a whole and a community as a whole. And sport has an awesome way of doing that, athlete or non-athlete
right.
as well. I've
right.
seen it take one of the small towns in my hometown, the teachers were going through a strike. And what kept that community going is volleyball and football games, because they found a way to find common ground through sport and community and people that were at odds all coming together. You just see it time and time again, sport bringing communities together. It's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good.
And it also makes me think about like what we have here at the Abbey and just how many people come and show out to all of our games.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful sight to see different teams like come to one game and then like go to another game. Like it's beautiful to see that we all support each other, like men and women alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very special here.
Okay, so my next question, from your experience or observations, what are the key benefits that participation in sports brings to girls and women? And to kind of start that discussion, I do have the quote from Pope Pius XII from 1945, and this is actually we abbreviated sport properly directed, and it's the quote that is the foundation of our athletic department. And I'll read it for you here. Sport properly directed develops character, makes a man courageous, a generous loser, and a gracious victor. It refines the senses, gives intellectual penetration, and steels the will to endurance. It is not merely a physical development, then. Sport, rightly understood, is an occupation of the whole man, and while perfecting the body as an instrument of the mind, it also makes the mind itself a more refined instrument for the search and communication of truth, and it helps man to achieve that end to which all others must be subservient, the service and praise of his creator. So, ladies, how does that play out on the soccer field or the volleyball court, and in the classroom, right?
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show how sports is so much bigger than what sometimes our society pushes out, where it's like results, results, results. When really, if you take a deep dive into sports and teams, it's all about, you know, kind of the mental side of things. And also like just the fact that it could be so much more than just one game. And it is so much more than one game. It's each rep, it's each teammate, it's each memory. Like there's so much that goes into the sport, and it's not just what people see on the TV with like games. Like no, and it's so beautiful that it's so intricate, and it's designed in a way that women can succeed and women can have all these amazing experiences together with a team, not just like individual mindset type thing.
Great.
Yeah, and ultimately it's just I think it's important to recognize that it truly is just a gift from God. And being able to move your body and the fact that we're even able to run or cut on the field or on the volleyball court is just so beautiful, like how our bodies work and how God created us. And it teaches us how to persevere and work hard, not only in athletics, but also in life, and how to persevere and overcome hard things.
Great. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you all about as young women are perhaps your experiences with club ball or travel teams before you became a collegiate student athlete. And can you talk a little bit about that and how those experiences perhaps as teenage women, like, did it alter your high school experience? Did it make family life difficult? Did it make practicing your faith difficult? How did you work through those challenges? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start by saying that a thought that comes into my head about where I grew up is just the fact that so many clubs kept on popping up, which I think is so beautiful because the interest is so there. And I think that goes for all sports. So start by saying that, beautiful thing. But the experiences that I got from playing club volleyball is something that I'll always treasure. Like, to be able to walk into a convention center and see, like, so many girls, so many families who are supportive of those girls, so many people working those tournaments, like, what a sight to see. And I think sometimes I did, like, take a step back and be like, this is so cool that, like, I'm in here right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it was wild. So so incredibly thankful for the opportunity to play club volleyball. I played kind of regionally in Florida my freshman year. But once I hit sophomore year, when I kind of decided that I was going to, you know, really get into volleyball and hopefully play in the college level soon, I went to nationals, which was just more expansive with where I played. And I'm just so incredibly thankful for the sacrifices that my family put in, especially because it is a lot. Because it is, once the spring hits, I was away very, very frequently. But kudos to my parents for just putting in all the work that they needed to. My dad mostly took me to all the tournaments, which was so amazing. And I actually asked him recently, I was like, why did you do that? Like, that's a lot. Like, that is a lot. And he was like, it was the joy of you playing. And I was like, I don't know why I've never asked you that, because that's a beautiful, beautiful response, because there's something so special about taking all the sacrifices that my family did to be able to watch me play and have joy in the play. Mm-hmm. So I'll start by saying that. Do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah. For my family, I'm the youngest of eight, so I have five older brothers and two older sisters who are just, we're a very competitive family. So growing up, we were always playing sports in our backyard, soccer, baseball, just all the sports. And that, like, fostered, like, the love for sports, especially for soccer. All of my siblings played soccer, so my mom would pile us all in the car and we'd go to the soccer field, be there for hours on Saturdays, just watching everyone's games. And it was just, it was so fruitful and just such an enjoyable experience to watch my older siblings play soccer, especially when I was a little girl, and my older sisters particularly. And watching my sister play soccer in college was so encouraging and inspiring, and I knew I wanted to do that as well. So when I started playing travel soccer when I was 9 years old, which travel soccer is a little different than volleyball. So you're outside from 6 to 8:30, super late practices. Not an ideal time, especially when you're a little kid. And then you'd have tournaments all over the place and you have to find carpool rides and everything. But yeah, like Ella said, it's so beautiful how our parents were so willing to sacrifice their weekends and their time to just bring us there, and even their money, like financially, to support us and, yeah, teach us how important it is to move your body and glorify God in that particular way. And making it a priority to go to Mass on Sundays when we were at tournaments or when we were traveling, making sure that no matter what city we were in, we went on masstimes.org and found a church that was nearby. And if I was going in my soccer sweatpants, I was going in my soccer sweatpants.
Right.
And it was just a beautiful time with my family, particularly. So.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I think there is sometimes a misconception I think sometimes it is sadly true that you have to pick sports over, you know, your faith. Or I think people think that. But it's so not the case. I had the same experience with masstimes.org. It's great. And also, like, my dad at one point, when my three older sisters were playing club, they all had different schedules, you know, PM wave, AM wave, different game times, all the things. But he made sure that each one of my sisters went to mass that weekend. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful in our Catholic faith that we have so many churches around. We have so many times you can pick from, you know. So it was beautiful because when my dad said that we were, you know, headed to mass for that weekend, I was like, we're going. Like, I know it. And I think coming into college with that background of even if you're busy, you make time for mass, that my family instilled in me is something that I then took as my own. And I was like, even if I'm busy, I'm making time for mass. Like, that is a priority for me on the weekends. And I think it does stem from those super busy club schedules. I remember we were in Orlando for one tournament, and we had like a 2.5 hour break where a few of my teammates were reffing, and my dad was like, let's go to mass. And I was like, okay, we're gonna go. So it's beautiful that we were both, you know, fostered in a family where both are so important, but, you know, faith is first and then everything else follows.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
And to speak on that as well, it's really sad to see, like, just hearing from other people talking, like, even girls, like, now, and they're like, oh, we didn't go to mass this weekend because I had a tournament. But it truly is a sacrifice, and I think, yeah, you just have to make that your priority. And, like,
right.
It is possible. Mm-hmm. There is time.
Right.
Yeah.
So we would just want to encourage families to do that. Mm-hmm. Certainly worth it. And as it should be, it changes your whole day.
It does.
Right?
For sure. But also approach it in the right way.
Yeah.
Right. Where, you know, you do find those mass times, and you do make sure that your child knows the importance of making it to mass, and mm-hmm. knows, and you instill those virtues at home.
Right. Very good. So what advice would you have? I know we have a lot of homeschooled students here at the Abbey who may or may not have been exposed to a sport or the opportunity to play prior to coming to school. How would you encourage those who are in their middle school and early high school years that they're interested in getting involved in a sport and just aren't sure how to do it, right? What steps do we take first? What kind of advice would you have for them?
I'd say that the outlets are there, just sometimes hard to find. But I think it's so important that we emphasize how important it is to move your body, you know, every day, whether it's just like a walk around campus or just the importance of glorifying the body and the temple that the Lord has given you every day and finding ways to do that. And through sport, I mean, I'm biased, but sports is a great way to do that because you're on a schedule and you have certain, like, sports, I feel like all sports are very kind of holistic with the movements that they have. So it's cool how, like, swimming, yes, you use, like, your whole body, volleyball, there's so many different movements that we use. So I think sports is such a great way, like any sport you choose, but it could be a way to work every single part of your body that the Lord gave you and be able to glorify those gifts that we all have.
It's a discipleship to your sport.
Yes.
Like, you have to love what you're doing, whatever it is, whether it's yoga, whether it's bicycling, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a form of stewardship.
Yes, 100%.
How we treat our bodies and what we do. Mm-hmm. So, Coach, do you have any advice for young girls who are interested in getting involved in a sport? How do I pick which sport is best for me?
Try them all. Do them all. We have the most amazing coaches here at Belmont Abbey College. If you live within a 35, 45 minute radius of Belmont Abbey College, we have camps all summer long that you can kind of get your feet wet and go in and be coached by some of the most brilliant minds of the country, the best trainers in the country here at Belmont Abbey College. Look for ways in your own community to get those same opportunities in local high schools, a lot of great high school coaches. There's so many phenomenal volunteers at the YMCA and church leagues that you can become a part of.
Right.
So there's so many opportunities. ask. I think that's one big thing. Why guess when you can know? If you want your child, or you are a young lady that is looking for an opportunity to get your feet wet, there's so many opportunities to do so. Get online. You've got those beautiful iPhones usually in your hand. They'll take you anywhere you want to go. So right. If you just start researching, and getting curious is huge, and just asking the right questions to help people get you where you want to go. I think that's something that's really empowering about sport as well, as being bold, and you can ask for, you know, what you want and what you're looking for. So I think those are some really great ways. And go to games, get connected with your local sports team. We love when we have our campers. Nothing makes, well, wins pretty great, obviously, as well. Team plays great, and we have our campers up in the stands and wearing our camp shirts and waving and coming down and doing autograph signing and getting involved in your community is so huge. And I think that's a big thing I'm asking of our athletes, is to get involved and get to know our community, where you're at Belmont Abbey, and how are you making an impact on a greater scale than just in your own team. I think it goes both ways. The people who are involved need to want to be the influencer in that way. Mm-hmm. And I think parents that want to get your child involved, there's so many ways to do so. I know there's field days that we've run in the past, where we do each different team does their sport with a group of girls that are coming in the gym, and they rotate all around the gym. This year we wrote letters to a local school, what being a woman in sport means to us. I would strongly encourage those of you that are older, even at the high school level, reaching out to the younger ones. And it is about leading the next generation forward. There's so many ways to get involved through community service and through your sport. It's a really powerful stage and platform that you have, right, if you so choose. Mm-hmm. If you so choose.
Right. Oh, that's, and you do a tremendous work with our SAC, and
love it.
You know, our teams. I'm so proud of the way our teams give back to the community.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's beautiful.
We've already amassed 3,000 hours, over 3,000 hours this year for the fall semester. It's just, our students are remarkable.
They are. And you've even won a national award for organizing
the group.
Mr. Crusader, the group.
The group did.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Yeah. We're really proud to have Dr. Thierfelder and Coach Miss, AD Miss, surprised me. It was, I started crying because I thought I was in trouble. I was getting on the Zoom call, getting in trouble, because it was during COVID. And so that was such a win in such a dark moment as well. So that was, our students are tremendous.
They're beautiful. I love the way they give back. So one of the other things that we had briefly considered is young women, the reality that young women are often uncomfortable in their bodies, right, as we go through these awkward teenage years and that sort of thing. So can you speak to how your involvement in sport might have helped you get a sense, because it came to mind when you were talking about the iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's on their phone, scrolling, seeing, and I was just reading some criminology research about the impact of phone usage on body image of pre-adolescence, right? Mm-hmm. And so how did sport, or how does it help you in terms of how you see your whole self, right?
Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, just being able, like I was talking about earlier, just being able to move, and it just shows how like strong women can be, and how like even though we're weaker than men, which is just inherently like how we were created by God.
We have different strengths.
Yeah,
for men.
Yes, yeah, we have different strengths than men. That's what I mean. That's but yeah, just I think being able to see how fast you can run, or how much skill that you can acquire through your sport, it just shows like, okay, wow, like I'm comfortable in my own body because I can move around and I can do all of these little things on my own. And
agreed. And I think social media can be a place where women can kind of start to feel not confident in their own skin. But I also think that with all these women athletes, you know, having more screen time, having more maybe like followers, or just their public image growing, you see how different athletes look different because of maybe their sport or because of what they focus on. And you see that, like, all of those bodies are so strong. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and so it could, you know, social media could be a horrible place, and it, you know.
It can be. But it can also be amazing.
It can also be
well.
Really cool.
And a great path and a great platform to have positivity thrown out there.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially when it involves women's sports. I think about when his Jim Cook, was that his name? The Nebraska coach?
John
Cook.
Yep.
John Cook. When he had that stadium full of those 92,000 and like eight, I think was the number.
Yep.
But like the amount of times that my teammates shared that and like how much pride we take in our sport and for all those in our sports, even on a D1 level, how important that is to us and how important it is to highlight other athletes, you know, so that social media made me think about that because that is so beautiful how we do support each other, even different divisions.
It's truly a way to come together. Those adolescent years are so vital and you feel so alone, and now you're adding things like social media to it. It can isolate you even more.
Right.
So again, that sense of belonging, and that's where I found my way. It was okay to be bold. It was okay to be aggressive. It was okay to be outspoken. It's okay to talk. And it's how am I glorifying my gifts? What am I good at? And then you go find something, you do what you love, and you don't work a day in your life, you know? So
that's
sport teaches you those things.
Right.
Yeah. You kind of find your group.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. You guys are awesome. Okay. All right. Yeah, so we were talking about the differences, different strengths that men and women have. And, you know, Pope Francis reminded us that the complementarity of man and woman, the pinnacle of divine creation, the differences between man and woman are not for opposition or subordination, but for communion and generation, always in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And I love this idea that we are man and woman there to complement each other, support each other. Mm-hmm. We do different things well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, away from sport, in my field, we have a number of very strong women, you know, who are planning to pursue a career in law enforcement. We have one who just graduated from the academy and two who are getting ready. And you know, I feel very strongly, as a police officer in the early 80s, I feel very strongly that men and women complement each other on the street because of their different gifts that God gives us. And I see the same thing in sport. When I watch a volleyball, men's volleyball game and a woman's volleyball game, I see differences even though it's still a net and a ball, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with soccer and lacrosse and, you know, swimming and tennis. They're both beautiful, but in different ways, mm-hmm. right? They're both strong, but in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I love that our church teaches us to honor those differences and to celebrate them. So in conclusion, we thank our audience for joining us today. Thank you to Coach Fox and to Ella and to Anna. We appreciate this conversation with you.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and tell your friends that Conversatio is available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And until next time, God bless.